Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, April the 24th, 2026, 14 minutes past the hour. Last Friday in the month of April, boy, has it come up quickly. Now, again, phone lines are open. We had election roundup there in hour number one. That was a lot of fun. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say? We've had a busy week here on the show, and I wanted to leave the phone lines open here on Friday so we could chat about whatever is on your mind, because I don't believe we've had any open phone lines, more or less, since, really, was it Tuesday? Maybe even Monday. So a lot has gone on this week. A lot of water over the dam, as they say. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If there's anything on your mind, feel free to give us a buzz and give us your thoughts on what's going on in the community or maybe around the community. I thought that was a pretty good election rundown. What a week it has been with the, more or less, I guess we would say, destruction of the Heather Hill campaign for governor. That didn't end up very well for Miss Hill, as she is out of the governor's race. Although, I think she's still out there doing some talking. I'm not sure how that will turn out, but I guess we'll see as time goes along. Casey Putch certainly running an interesting battle locally here, but we haven't had a whole lot of time to talk about what's going on locally. I haven't heard anything back from the state as of yet. Mayor Collins did tell me that when the plan came back from the state, he would let me know. So at this point, I don't think we've heard anything from the state on how that's all going to turn out with our financial situation, which again is still kind of confusing to me on the whole, because when we talked to City Councilman Scott Kreider on Monday night after the City Council meeting, he said that the plan that was sent down, I didn't quite understand it, that curbside recycling has not been eliminated and that bus fares have not been raised, but that those might be in the plan that was sent to Columbus. So I'm not sure that I fully understand that, although maybe somebody does. We're still talking about four-year terms for city council people ending up on the ballot this November. I'm not sure how people really feel about that. You know, term limits. Nobody's talked about term limits when it comes to that. They talked about party identification, but I don't know that they've talked about term limits, which I think will be very interesting as we go on down the road. So this is where we are. Is there anything else going on locally that's on people's mind this morning that we have not talked about? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. We have not had much of a chance this week to talk with you out there in the listening audience, so it's always good to get you in on the conversation. Well, yesterday we had Larry Barnett, the senior campaign advisor for the Heather Hill campaign, and we had Stuart Motes, the former lieutenant governor candidate for Heather Hill, the man who essentially ended Heather's political campaign by resigning from the ticket with the Secretary of State. You know what this has taught me is that politics in 2026 is really all personality driven. And I think when one of these personalities gets attacked, they lash out. And I don't know if that's the best look, and I don't know if that's the best tact to lash out. You know, because you do have three choices. You can let it go and not say anything. You can contact the person privately and say you have a problem with them. Or you can do it in the public. Why do we always want to do it in the public, in the political world? Is it really all that important? Is it really the end of the world? I don't know if it is. Some people act as if it is, but got me. Again, 740-383-9944, if there's anything on your mind. Now, don't be shy today after not taking phone calls for a few days. Sometimes people forget that I think we take phone calls. The phone lines are open here this morning. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Well, you know, I've been paying attention to some things on social media. And, you know, I don't know. I just don't know, on the whole, about social media. I just think there's something there that is not, on the whole, good for everybody. People can go on there and say whatever they want about anybody, whether or not it's true or not. And I'm not sure that that's the best place to run a campaign. Oh, by the way, and who knows what we're doing with Iran at this point. Doesn't seem like we're doing anything. We have a blockade set up for the Strait of Hormuz, but I other than that, who knows? The whole Iran thing is very, very strange. I don't know. I really, really don't know. It's a different time. And what factor will race play into that gubernatorial primary with Vivek and Casey Putch? I don't know. You know, I still say that I don't think Casey Putch will get 10% of the vote, but if he does, that's not a good sign for Vivek Ramaswamy as we go on down the road. Now, is it because Vivek is not liked because he's a billionaire? We don't like his personality? Is that what it's all about? I don't know. And we had David Pepper on yesterday, who's Amy Acton's running mate. Now, essentially, I think he tried to explain what was going on with Amy Acton, but I don't know if that went over as well as some people would have liked. It really, at this point, is just up in the air. It's fascinating, it's politics, and it's where we are. All right, again, phone lines are open if you got anything to say. And trust me, if you've got anything to say, say it, because I'm in the studio alone at the moment. Matt's a little late this morning, so feel free to give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 22 minutes past the hour on this Getaway Friday, April 24th, 2026. No more Fridays left in this month. 6 days left in the month of April. Can you believe that? And then we will be into May, and we'll see if all these April showers will bring the May flowers, which I think we're all hoping for. I think we want to see May flowers. You know, a lot of construction being done on the Culver spot out in front of Meyer. I take a look at that every day. It looks like there's some construction being done on the Starbucks here on Delaware Avenue. I don't think the building is anywhere near it yet, but we'll get there as we go on down the road. Go ahead, caller.
Boy, it's Loney at the top, isn't it?
It's always funny because when we do a few days of interviews, I think people forget that we still are a call-in show.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
I was just thinking, I'm an old lady, you know, so But I can remember back in the day, things weren't in such a stir. It might have been, but we didn't know. And all you knew was what Walter Cronkite told you on the 6 o'clock news on his little station. And now it makes you scary. I mean, you think, plus I don't think there was much, there might have been mudslinging then too. But like now, there's just a lot of stuff we don't need to know.
Well, what has been surprising this week is particularly with this Heather Hill campaign, and particularly with what Casey Putch said this week. I mean, these are people, one who was running for governor and one who still is running for governor. You know, I can't believe that somebody would get on a radio program and say, I don't denounce anti-Semitism and I don't denounce racism. Then you have the other candidate bringing up her lieutenant governor candidate's relationships with his ex-wives, I guess is the best way to put it.
You know, when you think about it, back in the day, that would have never been brought out to the public. It probably happened, but people were just a little bit more decent to other people. And, you know, it always says, well, you might be a fool and open your mouth and prove it. Well, that's true. It's disconcerting to us sitting here at home, because that grew up in the time that what you heard was true. But now everybody is right, and you got the whole world to tell. I hate it. I mean, I really do hate it. I wish we were under a rock.
Well, you know what's interesting about this whole thing? I believe that social media and politics breeds ego in today's world. And I think the reason that is because it gives you a notoriety, but it also gives you a fan base. The people who like you, and they will support you, they'll vote for you, they'll defend you, so on and so forth. So you get some ego that normally you would not have. And I think that's what we saw this week. When Heather Hill was attacked, instead of just saying no comment, which is what used to happen in the old days, immediately there had to be a fire back. And much like, and I hate to say it, with Wesleyan Davis right now, Ben Weber is spending a lot of money on yard signs and billboards and commercials and flyers and handouts. And, you know, basically she goes to the internet and says to her group, you know, it's preaching to the choir, you know, they're out to get me. I don't think people like they're out to get me when it's trying to get people to vote for you.
Well, it's all very juvenile to me. There's too much, you know, they used to say, what was the word they'd say about money and all evil? You know, people wouldn't have, even if they thought it, they wouldn't say, especially in public. And we have too much news. Walter Cronkite used to get on there and he'd give his little spiel for 15 minutes. We believed every word he said. He was very, I guess you could say you respected him. Who do we respect now?
Well, you know, it isn't in those days. If it didn't see, a lot of stuff got shaved off in those days because you only had 24 minutes of news, so you had to take.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you had to take the top stories of the day, and a lot of stuff got cut out because if it didn't make the top 24 minutes, it wasn't going to get in. And I think that did make people more trusted because they were reporting on the bigger stories of the day. Well, now it's unlimited. It's all the time. And
well, yeah, just like the lady running for governor. Good grief sakes. I know my brother used to say, I says, why don't you run for trustee? And he says, oh, he says, it's hard telling what they'd find in my closet.
Right.
You know. And it was that time ago. I mean, it's kind of like if you'd had a spat with somebody when you was in middle school, somebody's going to find it.
Well, that's true, but I don't think there's anything wrong with having a past. I think the problem is people's willingness to throw it at you. And that's, like I say, you have three choices to make. One is say nothing. Two is go to the person personally. Don't do it in public. If you're really concerned about how they're acting, go to them personally and say, I'm concerned about this. What's the answer here? But no, what do we do 9 times out of 10? We throw it on the social media. We throw it on the news. We find a reporter and we tell it to them. We don't handle this well anymore.
But, Scott, don't you think because people can pick up their phone and ask a question, and whatever that phone tells them is a fact, and then they're very smart, and they can pass it on. Whether it's true or not, but if it's on social media, it's a fact, and so then they pass it. It's just you give me the good old days anytime.
I can understand. Well, hey, thanks for being out there. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Matt Morgan has joined us in the studio. Matt, happy Friday. How are you?
Doing pretty all right. How about yourself?
Well, doing well. I'm always good. I don't think you've probably heard much of the show this morning, but we opened up this morning with a good political analysis of what's going on, so we can run down some of this. By the way, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If anybody would like to comment on anything that we're talking about or that's going on, you know, basically the lead story here this week is the Heather Hill campaign basically imploding on itself, but imploding on itself because of a fight, a verbal fight that had nothing to do with policy between the gubernatorial candidate and her lieutenant governor candidate that talked about pulling people closer in pictures, talked about how somebody treats their wife, talked about using the N-word, talked about using the R-word, and it eventually did her in because the guy went to the Secretary of State and resigned, and without him on the ballot, her votes are null and void and have been ordered by the Secretary of State not to be counted. So, if Stuart Motes, her running mate, said, I would not be part of the candidate or candidacy any longer, but if she had stopped with the name calling, if it wasn't back and forth for 4 days, he wouldn't have went to the Secretary of State and resigned. So why is this so personality and ego driven?
Well, I couldn't tell you why it's personality and ego. I mean, I guess politics, I guess, kind of has to be to some extent. I mean, you are, in theory, usually running against somebody else. So, I mean, if you're running against somebody else, you have to believe that you are just better than they are at, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but she wasn't running against her lieutenant governor candidate.
Well, I don't know what the problems they had were. I mean, apparently they did not get along all that grand.
Well, until this point. It seemed as if they did. We had the senior campaign advisor on yesterday, Larry Barnett, and he said that it was not a bad relationship until recently. But you can't say that somebody called you the N-word in the media. And then he fires back with, you know, calls her all kinds of things. Lunatic, deranged. Then, you know, she comes back and says you were pulling me close to you in photo shoots, and he calls her disgusting and says that would never happen. You know, this has nothing to do with policy. You're not running against your lieutenant governor candidate. Just stop.
Well, I don't think attacking your lieutenant gubernatorial candidate's good. I mean, it weakens your... I mean, I guess there is no Heather Hill ticket now, but, I mean, attacking your lieutenant governor is probably not a good thing.
Casey Putch comes on Wednesday. I talk about the comments that people said were pro-Nazi that got him kicked out of the restaurant.
I did hear the interview you did with... I can't even think of his name. The Heather Hill's lieutenant governor.
Motes.
Yes, Motes. Stewart, right? Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah. He I heard that he said he was going to vote for he said he was going to abstain.
He's going to abstain from the primary, yeah.
He said that if he was going to vote, I guess it would be Putsch.
Right. But Putsch on Wednesday said, I said, "Well, will you denounce anti-Semitism just in general?" No, and he explained why he wouldn't. And I said, "Well,
why not?"
Well, I don't want to misquote the man, but he said he wasn't going to play that game. And then we went to the Cowboys and Indians video with Vivek and the things he said there. I said, "Will you denounce racism?" No. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's great. You know.
Because, and I even said to her, I said, people are going to say that the reason you're not denouncing this is because you want those votes. That's essentially why you're doing this. And I don't think he cared.
What? I think it's probably true. I mean, I don't know why else you'd want to.
Which, again, comes back to point A many, many months ago. Vivek Ramaswamy's main problem is not that he's a billionaire, is not that he has policy ideas that are turning off the Republicans. There is some kind of racial overtone there. And whatever amount of votes Casey Putsch gets on primary day, there's going to be something to that because of the kind of candidate he is.
I don't think he's going to do well.
Well, what if he does get close to 10%?
Well, I mean, 10% is a lot of people. I think if he gets close to 10%, I think Vivek might as well kiss his chances at the governorship.
That's
goodbye.
What I've been saying. What if he wins counties? If Casey Putsch wins counties, that's a big problem.
I don't know that he's got the name recognition to win counties.
Yeah, well, I don't think people are voting for Casey Putsch. I think they're voting against Vivek Ramaswamy.
They're just going to go to the primary and be like, have another option.
I don't like that name. I'll vote for that guy.
I mean, I guess.
By the way, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And the 86th District has devolved even further. It's just, it's yard signs, it's mailers, it's campaign ads, it's just ugly, ugly. You've got Tracy Richardson, Mayor Kellogg, endorsing Ben Weber. Essentially, it looks like Wesleyan's running more of a social media campaign at this point, saying the big money's coming in to take me out. You know, I don't know if you win a campaign by saying they're out to get me.
I mean, I don't think it's exactly how Donald Trump won his campaign, but I'm pretty sure he campaigned a lot on they're trying to get me. As a matter of fact, there was a whole quote he had, and it was, I don't remember.
Donald Trump was on, people discount that. Donald Trump was on the TV all the time.
Yeah.
Donald Trump took any invitation to be on any show at any time, even if it was going to devolve into an argument. They covered his rallies incessantly, where they did not cover Hillary's rallies incessantly. And Hillary Clinton, which is Wesleyan Davis's problem, has unlikables. You know, Hillary Clinton had been around for a long time.
Donald Trump doesn't have unlikables?
In 2016, less.
No, because, I'm talking about 2024.
Well, 2024, I think, was a whole different thing. Again, I know you like to think that being a woman doesn't matter and race doesn't matter, but the Democratic candidate had both those working against her, and she also had the fact that she was never in a primary for that position. She just lucked in because the candidate wasn't doing well. A lot of things were going on in 24.
I guess, but I mean, you know, Donald Trump, I think Donald Trump had plenty of unlikables in 24.
Do you believe that if Joe Biden had got out, said I'm going to be a one-term president, there had been a primary, the Democrat who had won that primary was the person who was going to run against Trump, there was no kerfluffle that summer. Because of that, do you really think that Trump would have won?
If Joe Biden ran.
If he had said, I'm not running again, there would have been a full Democratic primary that the media would have covered. The person who would have won it would have had to have fought their way through it to win it. They would have chosen the vice presidential candidate. There would have been no dust-up in the summer where you're hearing about, is the president going to get out of the campaign? It wouldn't have left, whatever it was, 90-something days for the person to run a campaign. They would have started running their campaign months earlier. I think that helps.
Well, yeah, time is beneficial. And I think a primary is good, too, but, I mean, you know, it just gives the voters more information on them, you know, that kind of thing. But, I don't know. I mean, I would hope not. But, I mean, he won this time. I didn't think he had a chance of winning this time.
Well, again, I guess she's written a book.
She did
on that. Why she lost.
And, I have the book. I haven't
written it. Well, and it's essentially Joe Biden's people. I got in late. And Joe Biden's people did not want me to disagree with him on anything.
Well, I mean, you know, but you're the one running for president. I would have disagreed on him.
Yes, but you're only running because he got out of the way. You see, I don't think you understand the dynamic of that race. When you run in a primary and you win your primary, you set your campaign, you set your staff. She just took over his staff. I mean, there wasn't anything going on there.
Well, that's not good. Not a great. I don't think that was good choice.
Well, that's what people wanted to happen because they thought Joe Biden was going to lose because of such a horrible debate performance.
Well, maybe.
Right. So, I mean...
Biden, you know, he did not do great.
There were issues there.
Neither of them did. I mean, it devolved into argument about a golf game. Come on.
Well, there you have it. 740-383-9944. If anybody's got any thoughts on any of this, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. But I don't really care about that election. I'm talking about what part does race play in an election? What part does gender play in an election? And we've got it both. We've got both those things in this election.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
I guess it'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting.
I think primary's going to be good.
Well, primaries are good.
It's coming up soon, isn't it?
What is about 11 days.
24th?
11 days.
Yeah.
Right around the corner. So who... what about the county commissioner race? How do you see that?
I would think... based on, you know, yard signs, it would seem that it's going to be either Tim Mooney or Kristi Neff.
I don't know that yard signs are the total indicator. I think you have to take a lot of things.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I haven't really heard anybody talking about the county commissioner race.
We do.
Well, yeah, but you know, as far as...
I think you've got to look, as Christian who called in earlier, said, okay, he seems to feel the two front runners here are Mooney and Neff.
Yeah.
But you've got to say, Ken Stuyvesant has used huge name recognition. He's a former commissioner, he's big in the ag community, and he was a former county commissioner. So if you start to divide up this pie, and Jason Schauber, by the way, being the outsider in the last commissioner primary 2 years ago, got 30% of the vote. Okay, so let's say Jason just has that same 30% of the non-essential Republican vote, and the essential Republican vote is 70% in Marion County. Okay, give Jason 30. Okay, he's over there. Now, you can't say that Ken Stuyvesant is going to get less than 20% of the vote. Even if he finishes dead last, he's going to get at least 20% of the vote. So take that 20% out. So now 50% of the vote is gone. So now you're left with 50% of the vote. So you got Neff and Mooney if they're the front runners. Now, do you believe, of that remaining 50% of the front runners, that somebody is going to be able to defeat the other by a 10% margin? I don't think that'll happen. Because they would have to have 31%
Sounds like you're arguing for ranked choice ballots right now.
No, I'm just saying there's too many people in this election.
Well, I understand.
To split that that 70% of the pie of the Republican Party.
Well, I understand what you're saying. It was just it's just funny because it sounds but my question, very similar.
But I'm talking about what's the answer to the question? Do you believe Stuyvesant's going to get below 20%?
He could. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, good luck on that one. It ain't going to happen. You're a former county commissioner. You're big in the county. You were the only person who spoke at the Harding dinner.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I haven't actually, like, gone around and asked people about the county commissioner race. But, I mean, in the county...
He's just got name recognition. Being a former commissioner, he's got name recognition.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, I don't know. I've been basing it all on yard signs. It's the only indicator I have. But in the county itself... I think that Neff and Mooney have the yard signs.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Say they're the strong ones.
I do think they're the strong ones.
Okay. What do you think? That Stuyvesant's going to get 10% of the vote, a former county commissioner, when they look at those names on the ballot?
Oh, you want me to give you a percentage breakdown? I don't know.
That's how you win elections, yes, percentage breakdowns.
I don't know what the percentage breakdown's going to be.
Okay, so you really got no opinion then, really?
Well, I figure...
Well, this person's got more signs. I think that's where it's at, and there you go.
Well, I mean, if you have a sign... Well, I don't know. I guess you put up your sign sometimes.
I think there's a lot more intricacies to this. I can look at that last race and say that there are 30% of the county that will vote for Jason Schauber. So I've got to say
different people in the race. What if I liked Jason Schauber more than Ralph Smith?
But so you think he's going to get more? I don't think he's going to get below 30. I don't think that 30% has been turned off.
I don't know what percentage he's going to get. I'm just saying,
I'm not a psychic.
Like, if you liked Ralph Smith, if you liked Jason Schauber over Ralph Smith, you're going to
I'm not talking about that election.
Yeah, I understand. But now, Jason Schauber is not against Ralph Smith. He is now against three other people.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the committee.
Three completely different people.
But the Ralph Smith race was one city ward. I'm talking about Jason ran for county commissioner in 2024, the same voting pool that we'll have this time. Mm. And in that election, he got 30% of the vote. I don't believe that's going to go up a whole lot. I don't believe it's going to go down a whole lot. It will be one way or the other. Because that is the non-essential Republican Party vote. Because I believe that does hover probably around 70%. So, 70%. Well, how are you going to divvy up that 70% now between the remaining three candidates? Because each of those candidates has something going for them. You say Mooney's got the signs... Neff certainly has, I think, the publicity, and Stuyvesant's got the name recognition.
Well, I don't know. I think
so how are you going to cut that 70% pie?
I think Neff, at this point, has probably just as many signs as Mooney.
Oh, okay, so how are you going to cut that pie?
I don't know. I don't know.
If it were two other people... I think we'd have what we had the last time.
I'd have to go and
Kevin Davidson took about 39% of the vote, which clearly was enough to beat Jason Schauber's 30%. But Kerr Murray took less than 30% because that 70% of the pie was only divvied up between two people. Well, now you got to divvy it up between three people. And none of them are a weak candidate. So who is going to get... One person would have to be totally blown out in that for somebody to get more than 30% of the vote.
I'd agree.
So who's going to get blown away in that?
Well, I don't know if anybody's going to get blown away.
That's what I'm saying. They're all strong candidates. They all have their piece of that party. You know, Mooney's been endorsed by the police. Neff is the wife of the head of the party, former councilman. And Stuyvesant's a former commissioner himself, only person who spoke at the Harding dinner who's a commissioner candidate. So, you know, who gets blown away there? I don't think anybody does. I don't think any of them are going to get below 20% of the vote. But who's going to get above 30?
Well, somebody's got to get below 20% of the vote.
No, they don't. Not
There's
if it's 70%.
There's people in the race.
I think you're going to see...
That's not how math works. There are four people in the race.
I'm talking about
100 divided by 3 is like 33.
Are you listening to me?
So
take 30% out.
Okay.
Schauber's going to get somewhere in the 30% range. Boom, gone. So now you got 3. Divide that 70% three ways. I don't think anybody's going to get below 20%. So how do any of those three candidates with 70% of the vote left, not going to get below 20%, going to get above 30?
I mean, you don't have to win by a blowout.
You wouldn't win by a blowout. I'm saying, if you agree there's 70% of the vote left for the hardcore Republicans, and none of those candidates, those three, are going to get below 20%, that, let's give them all 20 right off the top. That's 60% of the vote. You got 10% left. You think one of them's going to take everything? You're going to have two candidates with 20% of the vote, and the other one's going to take it all, and it'll just be within votes of what Jason Schaber will get? I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that. I don't think anybody's going to be blown out.
I'm just asking how any of those candidates, if they don't get below 20% of the vote, is going to be comparable in that race. Competitive. Or do you think there will be less than 30% of the people voting for Jason?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what people are going to vote.
Well, nobody does. That's why it's called prognostication.
I don't have any data to
I just gave you the data. I gave you the last election.
I mean, like 30% of the, but again, I mean, none of those people are in the race. It's a whole different thing. I mean, Jason Schaber is the only one who is.
Okay, well, do you think he will lose votes?
I think he'll lose votes by the proxy of there's just an extra person to vote for now. You gotta split the votes four ways as opposed to,
three.
Because Kerr Murray was in there, too.
I don't know about that. I just don't know, because I think there's a whole different thing going on in that party. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, radio boys.
How's it going?
You sound a little bored talking about
my
favorite...
Not really, Adam.
...politicians and businessmen, Jason S.
Not really. And,
okay.
But go ahead.
I've had enough about enough. But that's okay. We'll find out at the polls. I agree. This will be one of the most interesting elections, certainly in a regional level, but all of Ohio, as I mentioned. The more I think about Ramaswamy, I really am not much of a fan of his.
Not
about
much.
I'm not sure if he's throwing you a line about the accusations and how he feels, and you just don't really trust these people. I certainly like some of the things that he has to say. I mean, he's at a good age, but I'd like to see some better people who throw their hat in the ring.
Well, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, Ramaswamy. I mean, the idea of the data centers bringing in workers from other countries and his corporate interests. I mean, you know, he's smart. He's self-made. I mean, there are good things about him. And also, what are his ties to Ohio? Is he really faithful to the state? Give DeWine a lot of credit. There's a guy that loves Ohio. Ohio's in his blood. I mean, it's one of the things about DeWine that I do like.
And people don't like him now.
Yeah, well, I'm never really been a fan, but I do like his structure.
Who do you like, Adam? Tell us who you like. We got the list of who you don't like. Who do you like?
I think Cordray would have been great, as he's a moderate Democrat, well-spoken, a Jeopardy champion. That's pretty cool. But he didn't win. So I don't know. I don't have the answers. I don't know much about Heather Hill, but it sounds like she, I guess they burned bridges, just like Donald Trump. That's probably the biggest problem with Donald Trump, is he can't keep friendships and business relationships with people. I mean, look at him and Elon Musk and their divorce. They were BFFs, and then they got this divorce a day later, and Kristi Noem and all these people. So I think Heather Hill seems to have that same kind of a problem.
Well, I think it's all about ego.
You got to get along with people. Again, DeWine is good with that. He gets along with people. He knows the system.
But we'll see.
But you know, I think he realized he's pushing 80. He's probably had enough. And
well, he's term limited. I think he'd run again if he could.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, he's had every political office pretty much in Ohio. I guess he could think of having another one.
I think he'd run for governor again if he could. But I don't think he's going to run for anything else.
I mean, he could run for mayor of his hometown, I guess. I mean, who knows? But I think he's taking a well-deserved retirement. So I do respect his long decades of service and his knowledge. And I think Attorney General was the best job for him. He was a good Attorney General. standing a bit over his head, but that happens when you're governor. You never quite know what's going on. I don't have the answer, Scott, as to who should be governor. That's beyond me. I think that's part of the problem is I'm not the only one who thinks that there are slim pickings out there, that there are not good choices, and that's going to cause this tension.
Not good choices is one thing. I think the problem is why aren't they good choices, and where is this going to lay? You know, again, if you don't like Vivek Ramaswamy's policies, that's fine. If you don't like, I guess, his personality, I guess we're in the world of personality, that's fine. Although I don't know what his personality is. I haven't spent any time with the man.
No, he's awfully arrogant.
See, now, I don't know what that means. See, I have no idea what that... I don't know this man. I can't call him arrogant. Arrogant in what? The way he gives a speech?
His presentation, he's proud. He's a young man, and he's rich, and he's very smart. He has a right to be proud of himself, but it seems like he's taken that a bit far.
Right, but I mean, how do we take these qualities away from the man?
Well, you don't. That's how he is.
Right, but I guess I...
He's like Mamdami. He smiles too much.
Okay. Well,
I don't trust people who smile like the Cheshire Cat.
Well, you know, Hillary Clinton didn't smile at all, and they beat her over the head for that too.
Well, what was that, Matt? I'm sorry.
I said, you know, Hillary Clinton didn't smile at all, and they beat her over the head for that too.
Yeah, I guess you can't win either way, can you? I agree with you on that.
I'm just trying to figure out why the man has been labeled as arrogant, which I can't figure out. You know, I have tried to figure this out for days and days and days.
So. But on the happier things, either of you guys listen to my show with the foodie?
No, haven't done that yet.
You listen yet, Matt?
I was unaware that it happened.
So you've heard of DC the foodie, right? I'm sure I asked you that before. You've not heard of him.
Yeah, I think last week we talked about it.
He's been doing all kinds of stuff in Marion at the Rotary Club and the schools, and on the advice of myself and others, he went to the Mansfield Reformatory and took that tour. And he put a nice video up. I mean, he's a sharp young guy for sure. Hopefully, he can have him on again. Our interview went really fast. It was great. So you never quite know what's going to come into your radio. We like to have a good variety of guests.
That's for sure.
But I mentioned to you about my national TV appearance on Wednesday. It's a little different than I expected, but it was okay because if you wait till about would have been about 28 after 10, you might have seen my smiling and pretty face. Well, not quite smiling, because I looked like I was in a hurry because that was the scene. But my pretty little face there was actually at the train station, and a few glimpses of me during the 8 o'clock hour. So it was pretty cool.
That's good. I think that's fun.
I guess as you saw the Facebook post, Adam wasn't happy with being on the radio. He had to go to the next level.
That's good.
In 2 weeks on Med, that was another series of tapings. I may have more exposure. We shall see. You never really know. They do a lot of editing. The whole science of camera angles is fascinating. And it's just so different from radio. It's like I'm so used to being a radio person. You're talking about 45 years of being a radio person, off and on, mostly on. And this is a totally different medium. Plus, it's changed so much. The technology has made it evolve. It really is quite a fascinating study in pop culture, guys.
Yes, I would say so.
Either of you have any questions for me?
Not that I can think of.
You have any questions, Matt? Sometimes you're a little more inquisitive.
Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay, well that's good. Did you like my comment in the photo with Mary Ellen and Glenn that the hair quantity was kind of decreasing order from left to right? Was that on purpose, Scott?
No, I don't think so. I think we stand that way every week, but that's okay.
Yeah, like you went from Matt to Mary Ellen to you to Glenn.
Yeah, no, I liked it. It was good.
You put in Craig to the right, it would be even better, right? I thought it was kind of cool. Yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting observation, but that's typical of me, right? Remember, I'm just like DC. I'm a weirdo and foodie.
Well, that's okay. That's good.
Maybe I should just call myself that. He really does embrace being weird. I really admire someone, especially at his age, for saying that and really meaning it. We need more people who are unique and let their own natural personality shine through. I do admire that in people.
Well, self-awareness is good.
Okay, well, that's about all I had for you guys. Yeah, but have a nice day.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. All right, there's Adam. Had appearances on those NBC shows as an extra. That's nice. And had the foodie guy on Wednesday, I think it was, 12:15 to noon. Now, you can get that in the replays on the website, WWGH1071.com. And again, phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. I think Stuyvesant is the head of the party. I thought Mr. Neff was something. Now, I could be wrong about this.
I mean, maybe, I don't know. Is there like a difference between like the president and the head?
I don't know. There's, regardless, I don't know. Stuyvesant, I don't think, is the head, president, whatever he is, of the Republican Party, can be written off. But yet, as people have said, he's probably running the least of the campaigns. Now, maybe that's why.
I don't think that not running a campaign or not running as much of a campaign is ever ever a good
thing.
Well,
if you know it's a primary election. Well, if you know it's a primary and you know that you're voting, it's not like there aren't Stuyvesant signs out there. When I drive down the boulevard, the Mooney signs, if they're there, are not sticking out at me. And there are some Neff signs, and there certainly are some Stuyvesant signs.
Neff signs go pretty far too, like almost all the way out to Galleon.
So there you have it. Well, we're going to break. We're going to come back with a whole nother hour of fun and entertainment, and hopefully your calls on the toll-free line, 740-383-9944.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.
I know.
Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise...